Scotty, no Pippen, no Michael, no Jordan, no Bull. No Bull. No Bull. Only real shit in my town, not a fake niggas ain't round. No Bull. No Bull. Yeah. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of No Ball, the podcast by me, Jimmy, from UK Chicago Bulls. I always struggle to get out for some reason. Excuse me, today I've got a stinking cold, which you can probably tell. Yeah, so let's just power through this like an absolute champion I am. You've probably already seen it on the socials already, but my guest today is Mr. Liam Chapman.
Oh, thank you, Jimmy.
How you doing, mate?
I'm good.
Good to see you. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate your time.
Yep, no problem. It's been excited to be on here, talk some Bulls.
Nice. It's nice to meet new Bulls fans. We've not had a lot of interaction, so it's interesting because my first guest was obviously Dean, who I know really well. Last week I had Sam, who we interact a lot. So yeah, this is new for both of us. So it's nice to meet new fans, man.
Yeah, I've been following you for a while, but I'm not too active on the Twitter, but yeah, I'll keep up to date with you and what you're saying.
No, I appreciate that, man. Appreciate that a lot. So, obviously, big Bulls fan. You watch all the games, if not live, okay. Catch up, I believe. So,
yep, pretty much from game one. Missed a bit of the Raptors game, but yeah, pretty much for every game strong so far.
It's a commitment, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, what's your schedule? I'm assuming you don't watch them all live because it's near on impossible, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, no. Sunday nights are easy. Well, that's the thing. Before the clocks went back, I can normally go to bed around 2 and wake up about 8:30. Like 6.5 hours sleep's fine in that sense. So, like for example, the Pistons opening game started at midnight. Then that's not a problem, and you could kind of snooze away after that. If it is kind of the 1 a.m.ers that go to 3 sometimes, then it will be the next day. But yeah, but obviously we've had a couple like Philly on Wednesday, which was easy. Of the 11 till 1.
Yeah, you say easy. It's still not easy, is it? You know,
no overtime.
I love it when you see, and it's the same with every team, but obviously where we follow the Bulls, you see, people in Chicago when they moan about the West Coast games, and you just think, really?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Well, it'd be even harder supporting a West Coast team.
Yeah, as I say, I said to Sam last week, sometimes I find the 3:30 tips easier than the 1 o'clock ones in a way, because for me, I just go to bed early, get up at 3:15. By the time the game's finished, it's time to start the day. But that said, like I said last week, you know, come 6 o'clock when I get in from work and I've had my dinner, I'm falling asleep on the sofa. So yeah, I don't know. It's a no-win situation, isn't it? Supporting it from over here, but we try our best, don't we?
Yeah. Well, the Sundays are always easy. Well, hopefully we've got a few Sunday games coming up where, you know, it's about 8:30 over here, so which is.
Yeah, I think our first one. Brilliant. I think our first early tip, which was 8:30, is like the Lakers in second week of December or something like that. So.
I think we got one, and then we got a few after that. I think they come. We've got a long wait for the first one, and quite a few come at once.
Yeah, that 8:30 one will be a big, big welcome, and especially against the Lakers because that's a guaranteed W. So. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Bit like tonight, I suppose. But obviously, you've watched this. We'll catch up with recap on the last 3 games from last week. So obviously, we had the Celtics game. That was a crazy game. I was watching that after we recorded last Monday. Was it an 11 o'clock tip, I think, wasn't it? And I was editing the podcast for the audio whilst I was watching it. And it got to the end of the third. And I'll be honest, I was so close to saying, that'll do, I'm going to bed. And for some reason, I didn't. I thought, no, well, you never know. And wow, was I happy that I stayed up. I know quite a few people that did go to sleep by the end of the third. And they woke up to a big surprise. So did you watch that one live, or was that a catch-up for you?
Yeah, no, I stuck that one out. It was during that third as well, before the comeback started. It was very frustrating, but I didn't think about turning off. I thought, I'll just see it out anyway. I just watched the basketball, but I kind of did lose hope. So I was more like less invested and just watching it as kind of just more of a chill out rather than. And in the moment that when the AO3 went in, that's when it was all right.
Man, that was unbelievable.
Right, we're in here. And it was kind of then right then to go and it was the fourth quarter was just surreal. It was they couldn't score for the life of them. We were just having every time we went forward, it was going well. And it was probably the most enjoyable quarter we've had this season.
It was just unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. I still can't quite get over the fact they pulled that off. I think it was I heard somewhere it's the first time since the shot clock's been around that a team has gone from being 19 down to winning 19 that late on. I think it was the first time that's ever happened, which is just crazy, really.
Yeah, well, it's a bit weird from the Celtics because obviously Jaylen Brown was on fire for the first time. And they kind of just, they all froze, really. And obviously they had a few arguments after with Marcus Smart.
Yeah, we caused the players-only meeting by all accounts, didn't we? So
yeah, but it was like, obviously, they focused on giving the ball to Tatum, which at the time, Jaylen Brown was on better form or looked more dangerous. So kind of error from their part, and yeah, we had capitalised on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Andy's in the chat, so thanks for joining us, Andy. Appreciate that, mate. Yeah, I mean, that was a mad game. Like you say, IO's three, that was just... I mean, that was it, wasn't it? That was the comeback. That was when you sort of thought, this is happening now. That man oozes confidence, doesn't he?
Oh, he's been brilliant. It's just kind of... It's what we needed as well. It's just kind of the energy does a lot of things right. And yeah, just an exciting... But coming from a second-round pick, there's not really much more you can ask.
No, they were. Oh gosh, I'm gonna. I'll look.
I didn't think he'd be that good. Not as good as he has been.
No, especially this early. I mean, I'm trying to think of the other guy's name. It's escaped my brain for a minute. When we got to, because obviously he was the 38th pick in the second round, because we didn't have our first round pick. Thanks, Orlando. We obviously got Io, but there was a lot of Bulls fans that wanted, and I can't remember his name now. So I wish I didn't say anything. But they obviously, everyone was saying, oh, they only picked Io because he was a Chicago kid, this, that, and whatever. But I think actually, looking back, it was a great pick.
Yeah, well, he seemed quite determined straight away, didn't he?
Yeah.
He kind of was ready to get stuck in and kind of prove that he's better than the 38th pick.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And he's saying, looks like a steal at 38 in the draft. 100%. Massive steal. And he said from the start, didn't he? You know, he felt that he should have been a first round pick. And AK said, we got a first round pick, first round talent in the second round. So at the moment, it's looking to be proven right, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It should be, obviously, you know, he's going to have good and bad games, but hopefully to keep progressing more minutes and he's on a winning team as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, chances are he's going to hit the rookie wall, as they call it. But the worry, I'll say it's worry, it's not a worry, it's a great problem to have when Kobe comes back. I would imagine Kobe will take up quite a lot of the minutes he's getting there. Mm. Hopefully not all of them.
I'm excited for Kobe to come back. I think, you know, he's going to add a lot of what we haven't already got. So,
yeah, we need his scoring off the bench desperately, don't we? We really do.
Mm. Well, you know, Kobe can get hot, like proper, and with DeMar kind of and Zach taking a lot of the attention, he will get some good shots, which for Kobe will probably bury him. He's definitely good enough. Obviously, he did have struggles at times when he was made to be the prime ball handler and kind of be the main man and kind of had problems there. Defensively, we'll see. I don't think he's ever been good defensively at all. But offensively, it was going to be unbelievable.
I think the biggest thing you said about before, when he was a starter, he's not a point guard. I think that's clear. He's not a point guard. So to have him coming off the bench, I think, yeah, is absolutely brilliant. I mean, him coming off the bench with, say, Caruso or, you know, it could be fun. Like you say, he can get red hot. Like I was saying last week, my worry with Kobe is he's either red hot or he's ice cold. There's no in between. So Let's hope he can get red hot consistently, and that'll be huge for us going forward. Absolutely huge.
Yeah. Well, and how long have we got before he's back? It should be about a week.
Well,
or
I
so.
Read somewhere that he's starting scrimmage yesterday, I think. So, yeah, I mean, who knows? They were saying December, I think, was the original date penciled in for his return. So, yeah, I mean, probably not far off, to be fair, hopefully.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be exciting to see. Really, yeah, it's a tough one to call, but I think it'll be exciting how he comes back and how he fits in.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about the Sixers then? It's the first Sixers game. Of course, we played them twice. First on the road. That was a tough one.
If that one felt winnable. The second one was kind of they buried us. But the first one really, obviously, Seth Curry, great shot, kind of killed it off. And the Embiid block definitely finished it off. It did seem winnable.
The Embiid foul.
Yeah, which Stacey King said the body went into him, but you kind of see why they turned it over. But they just obviously just down the stretch, they just edged it, and then kind of. But you know, I think one out of the two Sixers games, winning one would have been nice. But yeah, that one kind of slipped.
I found the first one a tough watch because, like you said, that was a more than winnable game, and we should have won that game, truthfully. I mean, our shot's still not falling, is it? Vooch is just not... I love him, and I'm praying it turns around for Vooch, but his shot is just not falling.
Yeah, it's been kind of like that from minute one, I feel, against the Pistons, first game of the season. Yeah, the only thing I remember Vooch, obviously, he picked up points, and the only good play was kind of two shots which finished off Utah. Yeah, the quick 5 points which killed them off in that game. But then it's just obviously it's a lot of missed shots. It's kind of percentages aren't pretty.
And their shots that last year, they were dropping. Every one of them. Whether it be his hook shot, his... All of them, everything. His three-pointer, wherever he was shooting from, it seemed like 80% of the time they were dropping. I know that's a massive exaggeration. He wasn't shooting 80%, but I'm saying that's how it felt. Whereas to now, it feels like he can't buy a bucket, but I don't know. I'm backing him to turn it round. What about you?
You've got to. Well, it's still too early to kind of write him off. I can see why the overreaction's there because I don't think it's been kind of very poor 10 games. It just feels like it's just been a rough watch as well. Shot selection's not been great, I feel. When he does got an open shot, a lot of them seem to be missing. When you're watching it like that, it kind of doesn't look great. But from what he's done in the past consistently, you can't write him off. It's still way too early. And luckily, look, we're still 6-3 because we've got other players now which can pull through. I mean, it's not just one player or not.
I agree. Back. You say we can't overreact or whatever, but I've seen a lot of tweets that suggest otherwise, man. Some crazy tweets. Seen people saying about trading him for Wendell Carter Jr., get Wendell Carter Jr.
back.
And listen, Wendell Carter Jr. is a solid player, don't get me wrong. He was playing centre for us. And when the trade went through, I remember Geraint from Orlando Magic UK, he messaged me. And I said, if you play him at power forward, he'll be a solid player. But he's not a centre. And of course, they're playing him at power forward and he's doing pretty good, to be fair. So yeah, you got to take your hat off to him. But give me Vooch every day of the week. Give me Vooch.
Oh, definitely. I did like Wendell. I thought in the 19-20 season, I thought he was our second best player, obviously after Zach. But obviously looking back, even at the time, and then looking back now, the trade seems a bit of a no-brainer for the Bulls.
You do that trade 10 times out of 10 in my
opinion. Yeah. The pick ain't high enough to kind of justify.
No.
To justify like the trade for Orlando's point of view. So...
Yeah,
Vooch is a much better player.
I agree. Andy's in the chat saying that, in his opinion, he needs one big, real big quarter to kickstart him again. I think you're bang on there. That's all it's going to take, just to lift his confidence, and I think he will be back to himself.
Hopefully. Well, he did have the two shots against Utah, which kind of should have been a massive confidence booster because he was the the man that killed them off, which was a massive win the first time. We've not often beat top teams above 500 in the last few years.
No.
And that really like a statement game. That one felt like we were good.
Yeah.
Because obviously the other four, you know, even though the Raptors are very, very good, at the time people wrote them off because of their season last season. But how good the Jazz were with only missing Conley. And that win was solid from the whole for 48 minutes.
The difference was in that game to all of the others is we didn't start slow.
Mm.
And I mean, had we started slow against Utah, we would have probably been out of it at half time. But we didn't. We started well. And to me, that was a problem against the Sixers. Is we're just not starting quick enough.
Yeah, a lot of catching up, which we'll see how tonight goes, but that's one thing.
Well, we cannot do that tonight.
If we had a bad first half, then
Brooklyn will crucify us if we start like that. So they've got no choice. They've got to come out the gates, and we've got to hope that the shots start dropping for them early on so we can keep up with them. But yeah, I mean, I struggled with that first Sixers game, going back to that, because like you say, it just felt winnable. We should have been ahead early, and yeah, we just ended up, well, we just couldn't catch it back up because we couldn't get that lead. The second one was a bit more, it kind of felt like we just,
fair enough.
Just lost to the better team on the night, in my opinion. Fair, I think fair. Just the
I think Embiid went 4-5 from three with some tough shots as well. He was great, to be honest. And it was just a little bit behind every time, which, you know, there's no arguments with that one. Kind of was just yeah, not the races.
I mean, at one point, it looked like they were going to try and turn it around, but it just didn't quite happen, did it?
Yeah, they're a bit of a weird one, though. Kind of, obviously, missing Simmons, you'd think they'd be in the mud a bit. And with no, with missing a few other players, no Tobias Harris. So it kind of, Embiid really shows how good he is, kind of. And yeah, I kind of that one, but he, you know.
Mate, I mean, it helps when Korkmaz turns up and plays like Michael Jordan, doesn't it, really?
But, oh, yeah,
he always seems to do against
both games.
Yeah, he always plays well against us. He really does. He really does. So the next three games, obviously, next four games, because we've got four now leading up to next Monday. By the way, going on to last week, we done the predictions, and Sam Blake said 2-1, and that was, of course, against Boston and 76ers twice. And I was very optimistic and said 3-0. So, Sam, we were both wrong, mate. So, what do we know? So, Liam, your task is Nets tonight, then Dallas, both at home, the Warriors and the Clippers on the road. What are you saying?
Well, if we start with Brooklyn, I think tonight, Toronto gave them our time yesterday. I think we're at home. We'll be fresh, kind of. I think we'll win that one. Dallas, I think we can deal with Luka. And kind of put Lonzo on Luka and we'll be all right.
I think no one can deal with Luka. Not when he's on one.
But I feel we can win that one and all, especially at home. And depending on, the players we've got now. Golden State, I will lose that one. They look good at the minute. And
they look incredible. They look incredible.
Yeah. And
they've got no Wiseman and no Clay still. That's really scary.
Yeah, they're going to be a fun one to watch in the West, especially when Clay's back as well. Wiseman had a bit of a rough year, so it'd be interesting to see how he does. But obviously, that's take a lot of pressure off him. And he can just go in, grab balls and do what he needs to do. But I can't see us beating Golden State.
I agree.
Over there. And the Clippers, I think we'll win. I think they don't look that great. They don't know nothing we can't beat.
So you're saying you're going 3-1.
Yeah, 3-1. I think.
Do you know what? I love that. I don't agree, but I love it.
Yeah. Well, they're three winnable games that I've picked, so
I think it's fair. I think it's absolutely fair. Like you say, especially with say Brooklyn come off they played last night, didn't they? So,
yeah.
I think it's absolutely fair. The old me from last week would have just gone 4-0. But I got massively brought back down to earth, thanks to the Sixers. So I'm going to take the split. I'm going to say 2-2. Oh, there you go. Andy said it just the same as me. Although you probably said it 30 seconds ago, Andy, but it only just come up. So I'm going 2-2 as well. That's, yeah, I think I'd be happy with that.
What two?
I'm going to say Dallas and Clippers.
Okay.
Because I think Kevin Durant could go for 50 tonight.
Yeah, well, it could happen anytime. Harden is looking better than all. He's been shooting well. I feel like they're 5-0 last five games. And
yeah.
Harden, they've both been shooting over 40%. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've got a funny feeling that KD is going to go off. And I'm not just talking KD standards, but I mean go off and really, really punish us.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm wrong. I desperately hope I'm wrong. But that man is phenomenal. I'd love him. I think he's an amazing, amazing player. I know it sounds so obvious to say that, but I love watching him. He's absolutely brilliant. I'm not going to probably enjoy watching him in this game, but nevertheless, he is phenomenal. Andy agrees with me with the Dallas and Clippers, the two games that we will hopefully win. That's, yeah, I don't know. And then, of course, after the Clippers, we got the Lakers the next night, haven't we? So back-to-back, those two. But that's one for next week. So we'll see. We'll revisit that next week and see where we're at. And hopefully, to be honest, I hope you're right, Liam. I hope Liam's right with 3-1. I'll take the loss for the Bulls game quite happily. So, guys, I've got a new little feature to start now. And I know I've already mentioned him at least once today, possibly twice, but I've got to shout out Geraint and, well, all of the Orlando Magic UK guys, Paul and Mikey as well. But Geraint got in touch when I mentioned doing this podcast, and he said about doing a quiz of some sort, and he gave me this idea, and so I completely stole it from them guys, and I actually done it when I was on their podcast, and it was good fun. So I spoke to Liam before. He's not in complete shock by this. I've not just thrown it on him. Obviously, he doesn't know the answers. So what I'm going to do is basically, I've got a player in mind here. I'm just going to reel out the teams he's played for, the years if you want, if that's going to help, and a couple of clues along the way if you need them. So we've got three players. One of them's from the 90s. This is when they were playing for the Bulls, because, of course, their careers could overlap. But so we've got one of them that was playing for the Bulls in the 90s, one that was playing for the Bulls in the 2000s, and one from 2010 onwards. So we're going to start with the 90s, obviously. So, Liam, he played for the Bulls, obviously, in the 90s. He was drafted by Cleveland. I know you're too young to remember the 90s, but he was drafted by Cleveland, and he was there 86 to 89. Then he was at the Clippers, 89 to 84. And then the Bulls got him from 94 to 99. And then he finished off at the Lakers from 99 to 2001. I can give you some more clues than that if you need them.
Oh.
So his tenure at the Bulls was, 94 to 99.
What position?
He was a guard.
BJ Armstrong?
No, that was a lot earlier. BJ was there for the first repeat. But I love BJ.
Oh, yeah, nice. The 90s knowledge isn't...
That's all right. He was an 8th overall pick for Cleveland. That's not going to help you at all. I'll be honest, that wouldn't help me. He wore the number 9. If that helps. He's one of my favourite... Actually, he's one of my favourite players ever. Sam Blake's in the chat. So he reckons he knows. Sam knows probably... That one of my favourite players would have absolutely given that away, because everyone on there would know that.
Ron Harper?
Yes.
Yeah,
Ron Harper. Well done. That's to be fair, that's better than well done, because you're 26? So you weren't nowhere near around then. So fair play, mate. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well played. So the 2000s, he was drafted by Chicago in 2003, and he was there till 2010. And there, where he went to Washington for a year. I don't think it was even a full year. Perhaps it was. Then Atlanta, 11 till 12. And then back in Chicago, 12 to 16. And then he finished off in Atlanta again. But I don't think he played too many games.
Ooh.
So he was drafted in 2003 by the Bulls. Do you want to know what pick he went? Seventh.
Do you have any all-star appearances?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
No.
Some Bulls fans will argue he should have been. He's a very controversial player. Bulls fans either seem to love him or hate him. He got two... No, sorry, he was in all-defensive second team. That was in 2007. And he was in the all-rookie first, which is obviously 2004, that would have been. Andy reckons he knows. You can put it in the comments, guys, because Liam can't actually see the comments. So
I think you've got me here.
Andy's right. I've got one of his special jerseys recently. Do you want his jersey number?
Yeah.
Number 12.
Ooh. What position?
Oh, God. What position was he? He was a forward, I think. I may have got that wrong. Let me check. Because I wasn't actually watching basketball back then, to be fair. Okay, so he's got a guard and power forward. So I thought he was a power forward, but he may well have been more popular as a guard. Yeah, and Andy's bang on. Andy's got it.
You've got me, yeah.
What about if I said captain? What about if I said captain?
No, it's before my time.
All right. Kirk Heinrich.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah, Kirk
Heinrich. I wouldn't have done
that. No, that's fair.
It's been a while.
So I wasn't watching back then, so obviously I know about him because of Bulls Nation. They either love him or they hate him, and I've seen so many arguments on whether he was good or whether he wasn't. But that's a story for another day. I can't make that argument because I wasn't really watching then, although I've seen plenty of videos of him since. So I reckon you're going to get this one. I'm confident. So we're going for 2010s onwards. So it's a bit of a cheat because... So he was in Chicago from 2004, but till 2014.
Lowell Deng.
Oh, there you go. Didn't even rest. Yeah. I had a feeling you might get that one.
Yeah, no, that one's easy.
All right, well, it would have been then Cleveland, then Miami, then Lakers, then obviously Minnesota. And I think he's still getting paid from the Lakers, so fair play, Lowell. Number 9, yeah, didn't need any of that. I was confident you were going to get that one, to be fair. So, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we'll probably carry on with that. It's a bit of fun, isn't it? It's a good laugh. Are you watching the game tonight live, Liam, or are you going to catch up?
No, I think... I don't know. We'll see. I see how I feel.
I believe it's a 1 o'clock... Watch it live. I believe it's a 1 o'clock tip, I think. I should...
Yeah, it's 1-1.
Yeah.
It's quite a big one, so I'm going to try and watch it live.
I really want to. I am so tired. I've had a hectic weekend and I've had a really busy day today. So I am shattered. I don't know if I'm going to be able to. I can't lie. I said that last Monday. I had no intention of watching the game live because I thought I would just fall asleep, to be honest. I ended up watching the whole game. So who knows? But I won't be staying up, that's for sure, because that's too hardcore for me. So it may be if I can get to bed in the next hour or so. Once I've edited this all down, I might get up. I don't know. If not, I'll be getting up very early and watching it before work. And hopefully Rich Barrett won't ruin it for me this time around like he did against Utah. He texted me because I didn't watch the Utah game live.
You got to be careful with that.
I woke up to a group message from Rich Barrett telling me, basically, yeah, the Bulls won. So I was delighted, but... Yeah, it was a bit annoying when I was just about to watch the game, but that is what it is. I shouldn't have even looked at my phone.
Back and watch it all.
Yeah, I watched it all before work. Yeah, no, not before work. Was it Saturday? Wasn't it? It was Friday night, I think. So yeah, I watched it all before. I don't know what I'd done Saturday morning. Yeah, if I don't watch them live, I generally try to get up earlier and watch them because I can't go all day off of social media. So it'd be impossible for me to last till the evening without finding out the score, to be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like we said earlier, there's nothing like watching it live. It's the best. And interacting with everyone and actually reacting to each play live. And you're getting all your passion through on a tweet. I mean, some of my tweets, blimey, when I look back at them, they're probably a bit much. But
The last 6 minutes of a live game is just, you can't beat it.
Especially the way the Bulls games have gone. I mean, it's not good for the heart, is it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, we seem to be on the wrong side of late shots or one possession game. So it'd be nice to win a couple.
Do you know, it would be nice to win a couple of blowout games, really.
Well, yeah, well, we've had, I don't know, like, we've not had a game winner yet, though, have we? So, obviously, we had the Marshall against Knicks, which nearly, and then that's the only one we've really had.
Yeah, we don't like talking about Knicks here, man. In fact, I had this ready for if Knicks come up. Yeah, that's what I'm going to play every time Knicks come up. I might have to get Martin from Knicks UK in on here. That could be an interesting episode.
Yeah, do it just before the fixtures.
I want to do it after, but only if we beat them.
Yeah.
If I do it before now, he's always got that, we beat you, mate. He's got that on me, and there's not really a comeback. Other than, yeah, you did beat us, but we didn't play well. And you only just beat us by 1 point, and we didn't play well. But that doesn't really work, because they still won. So he's still got one over on me.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. That's the game that we've got to win. We've got to win that. Andy's saying that his heart can't take these late comebacks. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. It's not good for the heart. I reckon we've lost years off of our lives from these first sort of 10 games. But yeah, let's see what happens tonight. Hopefully we can. I don't think it's going to be a blowout tonight, let's be honest. But, oh man, I don't know. Normally this is the kind of game where I say hopefully we can just stay in the game. But I feel like if things click, we can absolutely beat the Nets. And you obviously do because you've picked us to beat them. So
yeah, I think we start getting a little more from Zach as well, which obviously, offensively, he's probably top five player in the league. Which, with his hand, he's not really. It's all been DeRozan, to be honest. It's been, you know, Zach's shown what he can do. He can always do it. He can always book big shots. But he, when Zach's got goes, he really can go. Yeah. Which we've not really seen that yet this season. So he really can just put teams to the sword.
I love Zach. My biggest issue with Zach is always been this, and it still is in many ways, is his decision making.
Oh yeah, there's some dodgy. He had some proper dodgy ones in Philly the first game.
Yeah, some terrible decisions.
Yeah, which sometimes he could get away with it before because it was Zach or nothing. It was if Zach can't do it, then you know we're screwed. But now we've got DeRozan, which can really rely on. It's a bit different now.
DeRozan's phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Sam's just put 14 in a row tonight. Oh yeah, he's staying at right. This is crazy. So Sam's watched the last 13 games, including the preseason, all live. He's not a machine. He's just got a baby that doesn't sleep, so he's up anyway. No, he is an absolute machine, to be fair. But he's saying Vooch is going for 30 plus tonight.
Hopefully, we'll see. Hopefully. But yeah, I reckon a big game from Zach. I reckon that will do it. I reckon 35 plus from Zach and 25 from DeMar and 20 from Vooch.
I'll take it. I'll take 20 from Vooch. Absolutely. And he's going for his 10th game in a row. That, again, that's fair play, boys. As everyone knows, I done 10 and that was it for me. My health took a battering. I looked like death and I was really quite poorly, to be honest. So that was my limit, was 10. So fair play to anyone who does loads in a row like that. That's brilliant. But Liam, thanks so much for joining me, mate. It's been great having you on.
Thanks for having me.
Lewis put optimistic. I don't know whether that was Zach going off, DeMar going off, or Vooch, because there is a bit of a delay on the comments. Maybe all of them, maybe just winning, maybe even staying in the game. Who knows? Maybe they're all optimistic shouts. I don't know. But we've got to be positive, haven't we? Come on. But yeah, no, Liam, thanks for joining me, mate. It's been great having you on, chatting away. Really appreciate your time, mate. And yeah, hopefully we'll catch up again soon. And enjoy the game if you do manage to stay up.
Yep, you too.
Yeah.
And, hopefully we can do it.
Thanks a lot, mate. Really appreciate it. Thanks for everyone for joining us in the comments or watching back or listening on the podcast. Everyone's said, giving me great support and really, really can't tell you how much I appreciate it. It's amazing. So thank you, everyone. And yeah, let's hope for Liam's result or Liam's predictions to come in 3-1 over the next four. Absolutely take that. So fingers crossed. Thanks again, guys. And hopefully we'll be back with a guest next week. I've not actually got one lined up yet. So if you want to get on, just give me a shout, DM me, whatever. And we can arrange it for next Monday night. It'd be cool. So yeah, we'll get that sorted. See you then. Thanks a lot, everyone.